Epilogue. The carriage rumbled through the woods, kicking up mud and splashing through puddles as it went. Jelena watched the trees fly by the window with little interest. She'd seen nothing but verdant forest since the carriage had entered the green span early that morning. As a wood elf, and wood elf nobility no less, Jelena was expected to have a certain affinity for the trees. Perhaps she had once, but she'd found the woods remarkably dull for at least 3 centuries. It was the primary reason she'd originally requested to be House Tyriath's ambassador to Andoran. Jelena smoothed the folds of her long violet gown and turned back to the other passenger in the wagon, an attendant sitting primly, quietly, on the velvet seats with a leather briefcase on her lap. She looked vaguely familiar, but as ambassador, Jelena had never paid much attention to the staff.
"Looking forward to our arrival in Tyriath?" "Yes, ma'am." "Good. Though I'm surprised they let you on the carriage. I arranged for this trip in the utmost secrecy. Sorry, ma'am, I'm on top-secret business."
Jelena sighed. There was always something secret or classified going on in the embassy. She wanted no part of it. An ambassador, she liked to say, was like a local queen. Her job was to be beautiful and attend galas and make everybody love House Tyriath. The paperwork and debating was for her expansive staff and their underlings.
"Well, so long as you keep this a secret, who knows what they'd do to poor Boots if they knew I still had him?"
She nodded to the gently snoring handbag on the seat next to her. Boots's NPC papers had been revoked, almost all Shadowkins had, in the wake of the mishap in the Baitwolds with the elven marbles. Andoran's Shadowkin started a mass exodus, and soon people started saying you couldn't trust the ones who stayed behind.
"Yes, ma'am." "Why, he'd probably be hanged by a mob, the brutes. I mean, you can't trust most Shadowkin, certainly, but my Bootsy couldn't do a cantrip's harm. Why, he wouldn't hurt a fly." "Yes, ma'am. I had to pull quite a few strings to get a secret carriage for him and I, you know."
Angelana didn't have many strings left to pull. House Tyriath's influence wasn't what it had been after the shameful incident with the elven marbles. Caitha, a former princess of the house, was said to be among the villains who had betrayed and murdered the Almatran's high scribe and tried to give the elven marbles to the orcs. And now Jelana's sister and her fellow vagrants were said to be roaming the countryside like common bandits. It was disgraceful. She eyed the attendant nervously. Something about the woman seemed untrustworthy.
"You won't tell anyone about our boots, will you?" she demanded.
"No, ma—"
The carriage jerked to a halt, flinging baggage and women alike around the cabin. Jelena was thrown to the floor, and something heavy landed on top of her. She heard a loud commotion outside. Steel rang on steel. Her guards screamed. There was a blast of heat and light from somewhere. Then everything fell silent.
"Boots?"
Jelena pushed herself to her knees and started to ask the attendant what happened, but cut her words off with a gasp. The attendant was gone, and in her place was a mirror image of Jelena. The impostor wore a malicious sneer and pointed a silver dagger at Jelana's throat.
"A doppelganger?"
Jelena asked, just as the door burst open. A ruddy face with a hawkish nose and a scar over the right eye poked through the entryway.
"Hello there,"
said the dwarf, the same dwarf who had visited Jelana's offices a few months back.
"You," said Jelena. "You're Gorm Ingerson," said the impostor, hiding the dagger. "You're with my sister," said Jelena. "Hey, Jelena," said Caitha, poking her head in beside Gorm.
"Whoa." "I suppose we should have seen it coming," said Gorm. "Now, which one of you fine ladies would be me old friend the mask?"
"I'm Jelena," said her impostor. This doppelganger turned into me." "Caitha, what are you doing?"
said Jelena, panic rising.
"And I'm Jelena." "She turned into me," exclaimed her double. "I wouldn't be caught dead in an outfit like that. How dare you?"
gasped Jelena.
"Bert," barked Gorm. "Care to settle this?"
Boots popped out of his purse, grinning widely and, Jelena was shocked to see, lighting a cigar.
"Boots?"
she said.
"Not my real name, thanks,"
said Boots, or Bert, or whatever. He gave Jelena a curious sniff.
"This is the real one,"
he told the dwarf.
"I'm in your debt again."
Gorm turned his attention to Jelana's snarling double.
"Hello, Mask."
"I'm Jela—"
"Don't," said the dwarf. "After all these years, I think we owe each other the truth, aye?"
Jelana's double was breathing heavily, her eyes searching for some avenue of escape.
I'll be straight with you, and maybe ye can do the same. We know you tipped Johann off about me squire, and that's what got me recruited. And we're pretty sure it was ye who delivered the false evidence at the embassy, leading us to the Meyerwood. Unless I miss my guest, ye were the arbiter who took our paperwork in Hertzwood.
I guess you've got this all figured out, snarled Jelana's double.
Almost. We still don't know who's paying ya. The king and the Temple of Tandos would never dirty their hands. But I know someone is, and I'm betting the secret's in that briefcase of yours.
The doppelganger reflexively tightened its grip on the case.
There's where our offer comes in, continued the dwarf. After what you've done, I'd be in the right taking your head off here and now. But if you hand over the case and come quietly, we'll take you to the Shadowkin, and they'll try you fairly. More fairly than I would, anyway. But I'm only giving you this...
With a feral hiss, the doppelganger leaped for Jelana, raising its silver dagger. Before Jelana could scream, a massive fist in a black leather glove punched through the window opposite the dwarf and caught her assailant by the throat. The false Jelana choked and clutched at the hand, her eyeballs bulging and then shifting as her face began to fluctuate between a myriad of different people.
"I was hoping you'd pick this way," said Gorm. "Much more expedient. Geist?"
The doppelganger was hauled back through the window by the massive weapons master and dragged out of view, his brief scream cut off abruptly with grim certitude. Jelana paled.
"Gods above," she whispered.
"Ah, Lady Jelana!" A man in a bard's costume, complete with a wide-brimmed hat, leered through the hole in the carriage. "It's been a pleasure saving you today, but I understand that such unpleasantness can be unsettling to a lady of your delicate sensibilities."
"Thank you, Heraldin," said Gorm.
"If you need anything after this traumatic experience, any comfort whatsoever, I'm willing—"
"Thank you, Heraldin," said Caitha, much more firmly.
"As you say," sighed the bard. "Another time, my sweet," he told Jelana as he left. Gorm reached into the wagon and grabbed the briefcase the doppelganger had been holding. He handed it back to the pair of mages, who popped it open and ruffled through the papers inside.
"Receipts, contracts, purchase orders," said the Noctomancer. "We should be able to find what we need."
"Including an invoice made out for golds and bags," said the Solomancer.
"Well, fortune must have taken a shine to us. So the only question is, how much did you know?"
Jelana startled as the dwarf's gaze fell back on her.
"What?"
"You knew we was on the quest. Flynn arranged our meeting with you. It was the mask who fed us the tip about the Meyerwood, but he did it in your office without you knowing. Leaves a man wondering if you were in on the scheme."
I didn't know anything.
Jelana felt the panic rising again.
"Oh, nobody told you a thing," said the dwarf, leaning in.
Tears welled in Jelana's eyes.
"Johann said you might talk of giving the marbles to the orcs, but to just ignore it. They said we'd definitely get the marbles back, I swear."
"And I'm supposed to believe that?"
"I swear," sobbed Jelana.
"Good," beamed Gorm. "I thought as much. Caitha told me you wasn't in on it."
"You never had the inclination for intrigue," Caitha told her.
"Never had the brains for it either," said Boots, taking a long drag of his cigar. "You got what you wanted, dwarf? I kept up my end of the bargain."
"That you did," said Gorm. "Come on, Bert, let's go."
The kobold grabbed a small pouch from the seat and hopped down.
"See ya, Lightling. It's been fun."
Jelana could barely comprehend what she was seeing.
"Boots, you know these people?"
"Course he does," said Gorm. "How do you think we tracked the mask down?"
You betrayed me?"
"That's nothing,"
called the kobold, sauntering off.
"Wait till you see what I did in your purse."
The mages, the weapons master, and the bard followed the diminutive Shadowkin into the woods. Jelana's lip quivered uncontrollably.
"But where will I go?"
"As Tyriath, I'd imagine," said Gorm. "Your driver and guards are bound up in the front. You should still make it by nightfall."
"Goodbye, Jelana," said Caitha. "Give mother my regards."
"Good travels,"
said Gorm with a friendly wave. He and Caitha started after the other adventurers. A sudden rush of anger welled in Jelana.
"Enjoy your victory while you can,"
she hollered after them.
"Johann the Mighty is coming for you, and the king, and the Heroes Guild as well. Soon enough you'll pay for everything you've done."
She regretted her outburst almost immediately. Gorm stopped and turned back to the wagon, wearing a strange grin, or perhaps baring his teeth.
"What we've done?"
he asked softly, walking back to the wagon.
"Raiding a wagon here and there? Stopping a professional hero from slaughtering some Shadowkin now and then? You think Johann's worried about that?"
Jelana leaned back in her seat as he approached.
You go back to Andarin, the dwarf snarled, fire blazing in his eyes, and you tell Johann not to pay any mind to what we've done, cause it's a drop in the bucket, you hear? We're coming for justice, even if we have to burn the world to get it. And as sure as the north wind blows cold in the winter, nothing will stand in our way.
To be continued in The Dark Prophet Saga, Book 2, Son of a Lich.